Is KAYT Gina Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1 KAYT. Praising the Lord.
Greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You've just tuned in to the media ministry of New Zion Missionary Baptist Church of Winfield, Louisiana, pastored by Reverend Tramiel Ham. The Lord says in His Word that in 2 Timothy, preach the Word, be instant, in season and out of season. Listen now as our pastor preaches and teaches an in-season Word.
Amen. This is the day the Lord has made, and we ought to rejoice and be glad in it. Good morning, saints of God. All of God's children said amen. All the devil's children said amen. Good morning to all of you. We thank God for your presence today, and we thank God for His presence today. And even those one or two of the devil's children today who said amen, we pray that you'll change that today. Amen. It's a good day to be alive. Good day to be in the house of God. And to all who may be worshiping with us online, we thank God for you, and our prayers are with you. And to our ministers and to our leaders, to all of you, we bid you good morning and pray that God will move and continue to move by His Spirit and bless you, His people. Amen. I know you may be feeling hot inside and cold outside. I don't know what it is, but I just want you to take your mind off that. Take your mind off whatever it is that's not right in your life, whatever it is that's not going the way you want it to go. And just hear from God and receive what God has for you today. God is still worthy to be praised. Yes, He is. He's still worthy to be praised. Yes, He is. Yes, He is. He's still worthy to be praised. He gave us a whole new day. And if your Bible is correct, Bible we believe is correct, and Jeremiah says His mercies are new every morning. And this morning you woke up, not because you've been good, not because you've eaten your vegetables, not because you're taking zinc and black seed oil and elderberry and vitamin D, E, Z, P, whatever. It's because the mercies of God that you and I are still here, that we have not been consumed. And we thank God for this moment, for we don't know if we'll get this moment again. Amen. We believe there's a word from the Lord today that we want to share with you. And I'll let you go watch the playoffs. I think the game started at 12. And so if y'all give me the 6:30, we'll be out of here and we'll be ready to go ahead and see what the Lord has in store. There's a word from the Lord today from the book of 2 Kings, chapter 20. The parallels in this passage parallels also in 2 Chronicles 32, and also in Isaiah chapter 38. But we want to use this passage of scripture and go to 2 Kings chapter 20, see what God has to say to His people today concerning our walk with Him. Do you need a word? I don't know about you, but I need a word this morning. Amen. I need a word. I need a word. I need a word. I need a word. Amen. 2 Kings, are you there? It's in between 1 Kings and 3 Kings. If you found 3 Kings, you've gone way too far. Matter of fact, you're not even in the Bible anymore. 2 Kings chapter number 20. I'm going to be good, Mac. I'm going to be good, man. I'm going to be good. 2 Kings chapter 20. Begin reading at verse number 1. Your Bible should read somewhere like this. In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amoz, came to him and said unto him, thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Then he turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord, saying, I beseech thee, O Lord, remember now how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. And it came to pass when Isaiah was gone out in the middle court that the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Turn again and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, Thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer. I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will heal thee. On the third day thou shalt go up into the house of the Lord. And I will add unto thy days 15 years. And I will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria. And I will defend this city for mine own sake and for my servant David's sake. And Isaiah said, Take a lump of figs. And they took and laid it on the boil, and he recovered. And Isaiah said, Take a lump of figs. And he took and laid it on the boil, and he recovered. And Isaiah said unto Isaiah, What shall be the sign that the Lord will heal me, Lord, and that I shall go up into the house of the Lord the third day? Now, your Bible says in verse 7, he recovered. And in verse 8, he's still asking questions. That's some of us this morning. Healed, but still asking questions. And Isaiah said, This sign shall thou have of the Lord, that the Lord will do the thing that he has spoken. Shall the shadow go forward 10 degrees or go back 10 degrees? And Hezekiah answered, It is a light thing for the shadow to go down 10 degrees. Nay, but let the shadow return backward 10 degrees. And Isaiah the prophet cried unto the Lord, and he brought the shadow 10 degrees backward, by which it had gone down in the dial of Ahaz. Amen. We'll stop right there. The grass withers, the flowers fade thereof, but the word of our God shall last and stand forever. I want to talk to you this morning from this thought, coping with this crisis. I want to talk about coping with this crisis. Coping with this crisis. You are in church this morning, but some of our online members may feel a little better about doing this by being honest and admitting at this hour that you are dealing with a crisis. A crisis is some type of difficulty, some type of hardship, something that does not feel, sound good. A crisis. All of us have been going on 2 years now, some type of crisis that we have not seemed to exhaust yet. Some of us have the crisis of finances. Some of us have the crisis of people. Some of us have the crisis of health issues. So many crises that we have. Truth be told, many of us don't just have one crisis. There are several crises that are plaguing us in our walk and life. And one of the things you got to do if you're going to get help is come to the hospital and tell the doctor exactly what's wrong. Stop going to the doctor's office and then pretending as though you're all right. See, sick folk need to go to the doctor, and the doctor specializes in that ability to help you with whatever it is that they need. And if they can't get you to help, they'll refer you to someone called a specialist who specializes exactly in the very thing that you may be plagued with. Child of God, it's time out for you and I to pretend, front, act like everything is all right all the time. It's time out for trying to prove a point to people that all my I's are dotted, all my T's are crossed. Truth be told, you can be saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, and catch nothing but pure D hell all day long. Truth is, you can eat your vitamins, you can pray over your food, you can say your grace, and still have some type of physical limitations. That your life is not always the way you want it to be. You've been trying to fool and front for people for a long time. But I wish I was learning to grow into a church where people would learn how to be holy and honest. Learn how to be holy and human and realize that sometimes, preacher, things are not the way I want them to go. Sometimes my life is hard. Sometimes I get headaches. Some things you can't rebuke. Some things you just got to deal with. Some things you can't deny and say go back to the pits of hell. Some stuff is going to get in your house. Some stuff is going to get in your mind. Some stuff will get in your body. All of us have to deal with the reality of a crisis at some point in time. Now, I'm not giving you this to be some doom and gloom preacher, but I want to be a real preacher. I want to be realistic with you and tell you that life is not always easy. And when you come and take a preacher's right hand and you get in that watery grave and come back out wet and you're shouting because you look at your hands and what?
hands look new. You look at your feet, and they did too. When you come out of there, you got a real world you got to deal with. You just because you saved don't mean everybody around you is saved. Just because you're anointed don't mean that your people are anointed. That sometimes you are going to be anointed, you're going to be gifted, you're going to be covered by the grace of God and still have to deal with the crisis. Listen, y'all, being a child of God does not exempt you from trouble. Job said that a man born of a woman is of a few days, and those days are filled with trouble. Trouble comes, but God is a God who can deliver you, who can help you, who can provide for you, who can protect you, who can renew you, who can heal you holistically. He'll meet you right where you are. He'll get in a fight with you. He'll get in a fire with you. He'll open up doors for you. He'll close doors for you. But you got to learn how to cope with a crisis. Ladies and gentlemen, we are in a season of being developed. God is not trying to destroy you. Guess what? Because if God wanted to destroy you, he knows where to find you. He knows your address. He doesn't need a GPS. He knows exactly how to get you. So stop letting people lie to you and say God getting you. Some stuff, God is growing us. God is not trying to get you. God is wanting to grow you. And I'm thanking God that every time things don't feel good, I'm thanking God that I'm being a better person, a better version of me than I ever been before. Can I take a quick little inventory? Can anybody look past the last 2 years and you can see how far God has brought you? Can you see how better, much better you pray, how much better you read the word, how much more serious you take your life, how much you're handling people? You remember 2 years ago, you'd be pulling out your hair. Do you remember 2 years ago, you'd be strung out somewhere? But can you thank God, even though things are not the way I want them to go, it may not be perfect, I've still got to shout, I've still got to praise, I can still give him glory, I still got a roof over my head, I still got clothes on my back, I still got somebody that loves me. Thank God he knows how to deliver me and grow me. Here's the problem with development, though, because if you ever remember the old ways of photos being developed, they had to take you to a place called a dark room because too much light will ruin the photo. And so in order to be developed, you got to go into a dark place, and then when you come out, you look like the picture. Y'all missed your shout. That sometimes you got to go through dark places, dark seasons, and dark moments, but don't get mad about those seasons because it's in those dark places that God is developing you, and when you come to the light, you will be a beautiful picture of everything God has developed you to be. But you have to learn how to deal with a crisis. Somebody say crisis. Now, we can't get help today if you're going to come in here and lie. And I know I shouldn't say that. No, that's not a nice word to say. I'll say tell a fib. But I'd just rather say lie. It's time out. Somebody say time out. It's time out to come here fronting because you know you got hell at home. It's hell on the job. Lord help me. It's hell in the church. There's a crisis that can get all of us. And you can't get help until you deal with the truth. And hopefully today from this word, through this great king we learn about, King Hezekiah, this 13th king of Judah, a godly man. He's known as the second greatest king of Judah. He is a man who honors God. And he comes, and the interesting part, he's the son of Ahaz, who was an evil king. Yet he honors God. He loves God. But he still had to deal with the crisis. He has torn down false idols. He's torn down false images. He's done everything he's supposed to do as a king that God has placed. He's doing the right thing. I thought I was going to talk to real people. He's doing the right thing, yet had to deal with a crisis. I'm going to try again. He's a good guy. He loves God. But a crisis still knocks on his door. All right, he reads the Bible. He takes care of his family. He takes care of his children. He goes to work on time. He does not leave early. And crisis still knocks on his door. He eats his vegetables. He takes all the necessary supplements. And yet a crisis still knocks on his door. He's a faithful husband or he's a faithful wife to like you. And you still catch a crisis. The crisis comes through Assyrian attacks and Assyrian threats. He's threatened by the Assyrian king Sennacherib. I'm not going to ask you to say that man's name. But the king Sennacherib of Assyria, who is threatening to take out Judah. He's already destroyed the northern kingdom of Israel, and now he's coming for Judah, the southern kingdom. He's trying to destroy all that God has built. And it seems like this enemy is working. Sennacherib is sending messages to threaten and destroy and to cause fear against Hezekiah. Not only does he want Hezekiah afraid and give up, he wants the people of God to be afraid and to give up. He wants to scare you before you even get into the fight. Because he knows, see, the enemy knows something about you that you don't even know. The enemy knows it's the God in you that keeps you. It's not your weapons. It's not your smarts. It's not you fighting. It's not you cussing. It's that God that keeps letting you win. It's the God that keeps letting you conquer. It's the God that keeps letting you overcome. And the devil is more afraid of you than you are afraid of the enemy. So the enemy wants to threaten Hezekiah. He wants to threaten him. I wish I had some real people. Have you ever had threats? Stuff to make you quit. Stuff to make you give up. You're catching too much hell. Every time you turn around, it's a rumor. Every time it's he said, she said, they going, I figured, where you been, you look like, I don't like you, I hate you. The doctor says, the lawyer says, the bank says, the school says, the job says. It's just a threat. I thought I was talking to real people. I just had to preach to myself today. It's threats to make you give up. Some of the stuff you're in, I'm talking to some real people. And maybe there's three people in me today, but the four of us go get help today. Because stuff is happening in your life that's meant to make you quit on God. Because people will say, and the enemy will say, that if God love you like he say, and if you love God like you say, why are you dealing with that? Why do you have trouble? I thought you were saved. I thought you were Holy Ghost filled. I thought you go to church. And how can you be going to church this much and still be sick? How can you keep going to church and you're still getting laid off? How can you be going to church and your house is divided? And it's all meant to make you give up. Sennacherib is sending threats to Hezekiah. Oh, Lord. He's sending messages saying, I'm going to get you. I'm giving you a chance to surrender before I send my army. Read the whole, read chapters 18 and 19 in your leisure time. That he's telling him, you don't have enough soldiers to beat my soldiers. So the best thing for you to do is quit. Pay the ransom and quit. Pay the ransom. Sell out. Give in. And let the enemy have his way. I wish I was talking to some real people. See, it's the stuff you ain't telling nobody. That behind that mask and behind the other mask. Because some of us are double masked this morning. Behind those two masks, you are frustrated. You're fighting depression. You're afraid. You're confused. You're perplexed, you're angry, you're hostile, you're irritable because of the threat and the reports you keep hearing. Because Hezekiah keep getting reports the Assyrians are coming. And Hezekiah does something in a desperate situation. Hezekiah sells all the temple treasury. He sells all the goods of Judah and gives it to Sennacherib. He does what he thinks is right to protect people. And guess what, y'all? The threat don't stop. You sold out, and the threat didn't stop. Then the letter is sent to Hezekiah from King Sennacherib of Assyria. Letters are sent telling him, we're coming to get you. Nothing you have. Matter of fact, give me 2,000 of your best soldiers, and I'll put those soldiers on my horses, and they can't do anything. He's mocking Hezekiah. You ever felt like people mocking you? Because you don't fight back like they fight back. And they come for you like you weak. They come for you like you a punk. They come for you like you ain't gonna do nothing. And they don't know if it wasn't for God. I'm gonna get myself happy on that. They don't know if it wasn't for your walk with God. Man, I know where to put you, how to hide you, and nobody ever look for you again. Somebody say, but God. God ain't just keeping me from me. God is keeping me from you. But don't get it twisted, now I ain't no punk. I wish I had a witness. Letters are sent. Letters are sent to Hezekiah. Let him read it, this threat he's reading. He's seeing coronavirus numbers keep going up. He's reading nobody loves God anymore. He's reading churches are dying. He's reading that people can't get along. He's reading that whites don't like blacks. He's reading that blacks don't like whites. He's reading that the home is no longer. He's reading that finances are dropping. He's reading that unemployment is rising. He's reading this information. And it's starting to get to him. Hezekiah, instead of selling out this time, Hezekiah goes to the temple. And he lays the papers out and prays to God for intervention. And God sends a word through the prophet Isaiah and says to Hezekiah, God has heard your prayer. And God sent an angel to fight. He sent a death angel and destroyed 185,000 of Assyrian soldiers. And the remnant was running. But now we're in chapter 20. And now, here it is. Hezekiah finally figured out how to handle a professional crisis. But in chapter 20, he's got a personal crisis. Oh, Lord, I'm going to try that again. He's got a professional crisis that he learned how to handle because he prayed about that and trusted God to intervene. But now, chapter 20 says, he's in a personal crisis. Let's see if he's going to do the same thing. To get him out of the professional crisis, he's going to use in his personal crisis. Because I got some people I'm talking to who trust God to give you a job, but don't trust God to keep your temper. Trust God to give me food, but don't trust God to change my heart. I trust God to preach and to sing and to show up at church, but I really don't believe on my own. I can tell other folks how to trust God, but when it comes to a personal crisis, I don't know. With stuff that you know you can't handle, God. But with stuff you think you can handle, I got this, God. The Bible says in chapter 20, verse 1, word came, and these days, and it came to pass, that Hezekiah is sick unto death. He has a body filled with boils. And anybody who knows anything about boils, that means you got an infection. And Hezekiah is so infected with sickness that he's about to die. He's sick. He's a king, but he's sick. He's holy, Lord, but he's sick. He loves God, but he's sick. He worships, but he's sick. He prays, but he's sick. He's on the deacon board, but he's sick. He can preach you crazy, but he's sick. He's a good tither, but he's sick. He got his eyes dotted and T's crossed, but he's sick. That brings about number one, the reason you're looking at me like that. Because part of coping with this crisis is dealing with, number one, a problematic reality. It's a problematic reality, because the reality of it is this great king, this great man of God, has to deal with reality. And I want to come to help some of us church folk who live so much in church that we don't deal with reality. Ladies and gentlemen, let me say this to you. Even with faith, sometimes things are what they are. You have to see the facts so you know how to let your faith go beyond facts. But you got to stop denying the facts. See, we'll fool ourselves and saying, you know, you sick, Hezekiah, I don't receive that. But where them balls come from then? Here's the problem Hezekiah has. Lord, I ain't going to get in trouble today, Shanice. Here's the problem Hezekiah has. It'd have been okay if he's got the infection. That's okay. But the infection has brought about some boils where he can't hide. There's something wrong with him. I'm preaching, Ben, y'all saying amen. It's okay, to, Hezekiah, to be infected. I got an infection. But nobody can see the infection. But we see the results that something ain't right with you. Those balls, Stacy, giving it away. King, you sick. I don't feel sick, but judging by them balls, something on the inside ain't right with you. I think I'm talking to a few people this morning who don't want to deal with the truth. And you're doing the best you can not to let it show this infection you have on the inside. You about to break down, you about to lose your mind, and you're trying your best not to show it. Because if you show it, people gonna start labeling, criticizing, evaluating your situation. So you're doing your best to put on makeup to cover the boil. Let me wear a lot of clothes so nobody can see what's wrong.
Oh, Lord. Bible says Hezekiah is sick.
But he don't look it. What kind of reality is it that we've got some who've had to perish from this coronavirus? That's a reality. See, we got all these skeptics saying that ain't no such thing. Well, go to a funeral. And then you go to a funeral of somebody who's had to die from this, and then tell me it's not real. See, just because I don't want to deal with it does not make it real. Life is not always hard. It's not always easy. Sometimes it's hard. And Hezekiah, as godly as he is, and I need to share that with you today, as godly as you are, keep being godly. Keep loving God. Keep doing what's right. But it comes a time that you're going to deal with problematic realities. Hezekiah just happened to be an infection. Now, in today's society, they would call it cancer, maybe. They would call it some type of sepsis on the inside. But all we know is he's got a bad infection, because otherwise he wouldn't have the manifestation of boils. And many times we won't get those boils healed. We just cover them. And who am I talking to today who's trying to cover stuff? You're covering it. If people really knew how infected you were, they may not want to sit next to you. May not want to talk to you if they knew your infection. You know, if they knew this personal crisis that you're dealing with. There's a lot going on behind that smile, isn't it? A lot going on behind that worship. A lot going on behind that praise. You wanted to today. You really did. You came with all intention, some of you, to give God praise. But this crisis, you're so infected with information, what somebody done said, what someone has done, with that heartbreak, with that disappointment, you're so infected with it that you can't even be a functioning you. Bible says that Isaiah comes to him and says, not only are you sick, get your house in order. In other words, get your business fixed. Call your family in. Call whichever funeral home you want. Go ahead and make out your program. Determine who your pallbearer is going to be. Determine where you want the repairs to be. You want to be buried next to Mud Deer or Pawpaw. Determine where you're going. Get your house in order. Wait a minute. He's holy. He's a great man. He loves God. He worships God. Why would a prophet come tell him, get your house in order? I suggest to you why. Because he's got everybody else's house in order. And has not focused on his own house. Because you can be holy, anointed, and because see, some people spend so much time on other folk's business. Their own house. I'm talking good. Y'all ain't got to say nothing. Their own house is out of order. That's why they always tell you what you're doing, but won't invite you to theirs. Get your house in order, Hezekiah. Because here's the problem. Hezekiah been doing this king stuff so long, he has no heir. Y'all missed it. He been doing this king stuff. He been ruling. He been leading. He been governing. He been fighting these enemies and keeping the foreign trouble out. And never even took care of home enough to even give an heir. There is no natural heir to Hezekiah's throne. Am I talking good, y'all? So some of us who get so busy doing everything else, but we don't take care of us. What happens to Judah because you have not produced what you're supposed to be producing? Get your house in order. Maybe God sent sickness to keep you home. Maybe God allowed you to have to be isolated so you'll learn how to love your wife again. Maybe God isolated some of us so that we'll learn how to take care of our families and not be so busy. But it's a problem because what happens when you don't want to be at home? It's a problematic reality. And Isaiah says, set your house in order, for you shall what? Die and not live. Oh, Lord. That's a problem. But it's a reality. Because he got the boils, he laying in the bed, he's sick, laying in the bed. After a season of victory, he's laying in the bed. Here's the problem. Hezekiah, I can't die. I don't want to die because Assyrians are still trying to get my people. So if I die, what's going to happen to my people? If I die, what's going to happen to my lineage? Problematic reality. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Have some problems? And they're real problems? This ain't no make-believe stuff. You got some real problems going on. And you know what thing about problems? They're all personal. Stop. I can't make your problem be my problem. I can't make my problem be yours. I'm dealing with something. You dealing with something, too. That's why we're here at church today. Because, you know, wait a minute. You ever went to a doctor visit, and you have a place called a waiting room, and you realize you're not the only one in the waiting room? Other folk are waiting to see the doctor. And if you sit there and wait and sit there with them long enough, they start asking, what you here for? What you got? Somebody got to break the ice and wonder, what's wrong with you? Well, there's something going on with this old stomach. Ooh, me too, man. Let me tell you something. I thought it was just me. See, that's what church is supposed to be about. A whole bunch of sick folk who come together and try to get well. We come here to the doctor to be in his presence, but while we're waiting on him, we learn how to help and encourage and deal with our realities. That's what the church is supposed to be. It's not supposed to be one sick person judging somebody else who's sick too. Just because I don't have your issues does not mean I'm not sick. Because all of us got something that's wrong. How dare you look down your nose? It might not be stomach today, but next week it might be. Just because it's your head today don't mean it might not be something else later on. All of us have issues. I'm so sick of folk who won't let me be me, who won't let me be sick, who won't let me be honest. I'm tired of church like that. I'm tired of going through all the fronting. I'm tired of having to perpetrate and get myself together Saturday night and try to front because y'all can't handle my tears. Y'all can't handle my sorrow. Y'all can't handle my reality. Sometimes I'm hurting. Sometimes I'm broken. Sometimes I'm depressed. Sometimes I'm fighting for sanity, and I don't need nobody in the church judging me by my reality. I'm tired of other sick folk judging other sick folk. At least I'm trying to get mine healed. You're just trying to get over symptoms. And that's what's wrong with some of us. Some of us just don't want to be healed. We just don't want no symptoms. Some of us, see, okay, I'm going to prove it to you. You know, what happens right now? Because we don't want people thinking we have COVID. So even if I cough, folk get to looking at you. And so now you won't even cough, which is part of your natural process of sinus when the weather changes. You won't even cough, and you're about to strangle to death because you don't want nobody thinking something wrong with you. I come against that lie in the name of Jesus. If it's going to take me to get through whatever I got to go through to get my help, I'll cough, I'll sneeze, I'll huff and puff, and blow your whole house down. You think I'm going through all this to front for you? You think we're going through all we're going through to front for people? And Hezekiah had to deal with the reality that as kingly as you are, you got real problems. But what happens when you're no longer the answer? Everybody been coming to Hezekiah. But now who does Hezekiah go to? When this thing is no longer professional, but it's personal. And I'm going to tell the truth to some of us. Many of us don't know how to deal with ourselves. I can tell you about you all day long, but I don't know what to do myself. It's a problematic reality that you got to cope with. But then let's look also at a prayerful response. Because look at what Hezekiah does. The Bible says in verse number 2, he turns his back and faces the wall. Watch this. Watch this. Hezekiah turns and does not face a wall. Verse 2 says, then he turned his face to the wall. Not a wall. My first objective, my first, if I could bless you with anything, watch where you're turning. Okay. Last time I checked, a building has four walls. Interior. He has choice which one he go turn to. But he turns to the one, to the wall, that postures him for prayer. All right. Now, in order to turn to the wall, you got to turn away from some people and some stuff. I'm preaching this thing, but y'all saying amen. Most of our prayer lives are affected because we haven't turned. You're trying to pray to who the problem is. So you need to get in a posture where you can't be distracted by what some of your problem is. Lord, have mercy. He turns his back on the biggest people out the room. Y'all got to go right now. I know y'all love me. I know y'all trying to see about me. But I need some time with my God. And y'all got to get out. He turns his back on whatever's worrying him. Turns his back on Sennacherib. He's going to be what he's going to be. He's the enemy. But I'm going to focus my attention on my God. Watch this. Because I can't get to the temple right now. I'm too sick. I'm not able to get to the church. But I still got a wall. He turns his back. Which means that he's no longer regarding, for this moment, people and stuff. He turns to the wall. You know why you couldn't praise on that? Because many of us have not made that turn. You have not put yourself in the posture of prayer. You have not put yourself in the posture of paying the right attention to what you ought to be paying attention to and disregard what you shouldn't. You can't pray and be nosy. You can't pray and hear everybody else's business. You can't pray and be on Facebook. Can't pray and be on Snapchat. How you praying and you know everything going on. We used to have an old deacon who would pray devotion. And he prayed real good. So much so they had his prayers rehearsed. I had his prayers rehearsed. But the interesting thing about this deacon, when he prayed with his eyes open to see how happy folk was going to get off his prayers. Okay, y'all want to play crazy. He was praying so good, and he was hearing them amens when he's praying, that he shifted his focus from God and started praying for the appeal of people. So much so that he had his eyes open to see who all praying and shouting off his praying. Now, what happens when God has hung up the phone and you're still talking because God says, if you want me, you got to give me your undivided attention. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn. Tell somebody it needs to be a turn. There need to be a turn in the house of God. Need to be a turn in the people of God. Need to be a turn. You got to turn from some stuff. Turn your back on. Stop turning your back on God and start turning your back on them. Turn your back on mess. Turn your back on gossip. Turn your back on he say. Turn your back on lies. Turn your back on rumors. Turn your back on CNN. Turn your back on Fox News. Turn your back. He turns his back. Begins to pray. That's a prayerful response. Wait a minute now. He got bad news. But look, you see what Hezekiah did. Hezekiah immediately turns his back after he heard from a preacher some news he didn't want to hear. That's my shout here. He heard from a preacher who was just given a word from God to give to Hezekiah. And Hezekiah ain't cut that preacher head off. He ain't go and talk to other folk about the preacher. He just received what God gave that preacher to give to him for right then. Watch this. Because you can't just hear from God when it's something you want. You got to learn how to hear from God even when it deals with your truth. The first thing he said to Hezekiah, get your house in order. Which means that your house ain't in order. Can I tell you something? God would not send something to you that's truth if it wasn't the truth. Look what he does. Watch this. Y'all missing something. I'm going to let y'all go. He hears from God, and then his response is to turn to God. Y'all missed it. He heard from God, and once he heard the word, he turned to God. Because nobody but God can help you with what you heard from him. Do you notice something, y'all? That in 2022, some of us hear from God and we don't turn to God. You start talking about who told you what you ain't want to hear. Do you see anywhere in the text Hezekiah telling his wife, that preacher make me sick? Do you even hear him tell other folk, he told me I'm going to die? He told me get my house in order. Why he told me that? Why he did that to me? He immediately turns to God and talks to the one who gave him the message. Y'all missed it. Y'all missed it. See, you got to stop blaming Isaiah for what God told Isaiah to say. Well, we know we can't do nothing with God, so let me attack who he talked to. Okay, y'all, okay. He ain't roll his eyes at Isaiah. He ain't go to the bathroom, Bruce. He ain't just walk out of his house because he can't walk out. He's too sick for it. So you got to sit there and get that word. First of all, how am I going to get my house in order and I'm sick? He does what he's able to do and just turn over in the bed. Okay. Here's some wisdom for you. Y'all ready? Do what you can till you're able to do what you want. I'm not able to get up and shout, but I am able to turn over in this bed. And I'm turning my back on this stuff, turning my back on negativity, turning my back. I got the reality. Now, God, in the name of Jesus, I serve you, I love you, I have fought for you, I worship you, I sacrifice for you. God, help me understand. Wait a minute. Let's read this prayer, because y'all like to play crazy. Let's read this prayer. Got your Bibles, though? All right. I beseech thee, O Lord, remember now how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, have done that which is good in thy sight, and Hezekiah wept sore. See, this thing about prayer y'all don't want to deal with. That Hezekiah, I'm not tripping off Hezekiah, because Hezekiah is telling the truth in his prayer. He's crying because he doesn't want to die. Okay. All right. Y'all want to pick whatever God's will is. Okay, Lord. Now, look here. I heard your word that said I'm getting ready to die. But Lord, that ain't sitting right. But I'm coming to you because I don't understand what you're doing. See, the reason why do you tell other folk your business but don't tell God? See how quiet it got right there in the sanctuary? You tell everybody but God how you feel. Because you're afraid to be honest with God. It's never wrong to ask God questions. It's wrong to not trust God. Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. Father, if it be possible, take this cup from me. Lord told, nope, you got to keep it. Well, nevertheless, not my will, your will be done. Jesus said that. And you try and be deep. Whatever you give me, Lord, I accept it. Wait a minute, Lord. Hold on. I love you. I know you love me. But I ain't quite yet ready to check out. You said checkout time is at 3. It's just 9:30. I thought I had some real people up in here. Because your prayer life determines how much you want to live. Hezekiah is not telling, reminding God. He's having to remind himself of who he is in God. And I bet you learned that when you pray right, God reminds you of who you are in him before he even fixes your problem. It gives you a little boost in your prayer life to know that I've been praying because I got a relationship with God. Look what he says. Y'all lost. Because God is not a genie. You don't be rubbing God and then make a wish. You turn your posture to him. Look at what, I'm going to keep reading this prayer. I beseech you, remember now I've walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. Do you notice something in this prayer? He never mentions Isaiah. Look back in your Bible. He don't even mention Sennacherib. Who does Hezekiah talk to? And who does he talk about? That's what prayer is. And stop bringing all this extra stuff into your personal prayer life with God. Because if God got you, he gonna handle who bothering you. I'm teaching this thing, but y'all saying amen. That's all right. Shut down. I don't care. Shut down. Shut down. Shut down. I don't care. Because you're praying, but we're not praying right. Fix that. Fix her. Fix him. Never, Lord, fix me. What good is it for him to fix all that and you still jacked up? Go be bitter with a new car. Bitter with a new house. Bitter with a new man. I'm preaching tape. Look here. I'm gonna let y'all go because my soul getting happy. And it came to pass when Isaiah was gone out into the middle court that the word of the Lord came to him saying, while he's praying, God is calling Isaiah back. He turns his back to the wall, turns back to people, and faces the wall of prayer, the wall of petition, the wall of communion with God, and talks to God about the truth, and then shows God his emotion. Lord, he wept sorely. He's crying. Because he doesn't want to die yet. Knowing what he knows and had to hear from God, you shall die. And guess what? I'm going to tell you this kind of retrospectively. God didn't lie. He did need to get his house in order, and he did die. It just wasn't time. Y'all missing God. See, We think that every time the preacher preaches and it's a prophecy, it's about right then. Okay. Have you ever opened your mail? You open your bills? You don't want to. But you know the one that had the two windows? The two window envelopes? That's normally a bill, right? I thought I was talking to real people again. The two window envelopes. The one in the top left quadrant and the one in the bottom right quadrant of your envelope that's clear, it's normally a bill. And it's got your government name. Not what they call you, or it may be your child's name the way we are now. It's whoever's name. It's the bill. And you open the bill on the first. But if you look at it really good, you will see it's got a due date. It means that you don't have to pay it right now. But at some point in time, you got to pay it. Hezekiah read the mail and says it had a due, it didn't, but the due date on it was not right then. He got to die sometime, but he didn't want to die right then.
Okay.
So Isaiah is called by God to go back after having to give some rough news, go give him some good news. Here comes a promised recovery. A promised recovery in the midst of a crisis. He's still sick, y'all. He still got balls, y'all. But he prayed while he's messed up. He didn't pray before he got messed up, then pray after he got through being messed up. While he is messed up, he prays to God. And nobody saw him pray. Nobody heard him pray, but God heard it, and God about to use people.
Missed it.
God getting ready to use people to bring about your recovery. Now, watch this. The request is in your hands. But the response is in God's hands. However God want to do it, you got to be willing to let God do it. Because he's going to use the same preacher, help me Lord, that you mad at to give you the message of recovery that you go hear. But if you don't position yourself to hear from the one that God sent, then you're going to miss out on your own recovery and restoration. I come to talk to you bitter folk who mad at the church, who mad at a preacher, who mad at somebody. You only hurting yourself because you need to be back where you heard the word the first time, because that's who God gonna use to bring about your recovery. Turn again and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, thus saith who? The God of David, thy father. I have heard. I've heard your prayer. I have seen your tears. Tell him I know all about it. Watch this. He didn't tell this to everybody. It's only certain people God go tell to go help you. And many times we miss out on contents. Worried about the container. Let me leave us alone. I've seen thy tears. Behold, I will heal thee. On the third day thou shalt go up to the house. I'm getting ready to heal you, Hezekiah. Can I break it down to today? When I heal you, when I heal you, hold me, Lord. You came to church and you prayed while you were sick. The church rallied and supported you and prayed with you as you prayed. I'm going to heal you before you go back to church. I'm not going to heal you at the church. But your response should be to go back to the same folk who helped you pray. And then you go back to the place that saw you sick, let them see you healed. The people that saw you broke, let them see you provided for. The folk that prayed with you when you were lost, you return to them when you've been found. And I will add unto thee thy days 15 years, and I will deliver thee and the city. Because Hezekiah wasn't just worried about his sickness. He's worried about Judah. That's the stuff he didn't tell God about, because he thought he already handled that. But God says, when you just learn how to pray to me in the right posture, I know how to take care of you and everything that's connected to you. I'm going to restore you and the city. God, I ain't asked you to heal the city, but you didn't know you're going to need me to take care of the city, because Sennacherib getting ready to give a second invasion to Judah. And I'm preparing you now for something you go see. You missed it. How am I going to see it if I'm getting ready to die? You missed it, son, because if I done healed you, you're going to live to see me save not only you, but save your city. I will heal thee on the third day. Go up into the house of the Lord. I will add unto thy days 15 years, and I will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of Assyria. And I will defend this city for my own sake and for my servant David's sake. It's a promised restoration. Watch what God does. God says, take figs. Not that fig. Y'all stop looking at fig, trying to make fig come to your situation. Take some figs that usually commemorate celebration, joy, a grand occasion. But it's something inside the fig that brings about some medicinal value. Anybody ever come up old school, had a good old-fashioned ringworm, and grandma took those figs and the juice from those figs, and it itched you so bad on them ringworms, but a couple days later, you healed of it. Big Mama wasn't in 2 Kings 20, but God was in 2 Kings chapter 20. Watch this. Take the figs. And they took the figs and put them on the boils. Missed it. They took the figs and put them on the boil. Oh, I want to help somebody. I want to bless somebody today, because I got a question for you. Who is they? Last time I checked, it was just Hezekiah and God in the room. Last time I checked, it was Isaiah and God in the garden. But if you want to be delivered, you want to be healed, you want to be finalized, you got to let some people